Amen. If you guys have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of 1 John. We do have Bibles provided for you if you don't have one. And if you don't have one and you'd like to take one of these, please feel free. That's what they're there for. John, 1 John chapter 1, we're going to be in many different passages. Hopefully, you'll discover quickly that 9 times out of 10, when I have an opportunity to teach, I like to jump around a lot in the scriptures, so your fingers will get a good workout. And we're going to jump around a lot this morning. So the book of 1 John in this one is anybody already there? Got the page number? For 878. Very good. 878 if you're using this one. 878. Okay, so the book of 1 John, we're there. We've been there for a couple weeks now. On February 13th, we officially launched as Hope Hill Church. What that meant is at some national level, our name was written down as a church. We've been gathering together as a community since early spring last year. Some of you joined us through the summer months, and some of you just recently have joined us. But we're just so excited about what God is doing in the birthing of a new church. And we hope that if you're here visiting us this morning, that you'll really pray about what God has for you in your future. We are looking for more people, not because we want to build a big church, but because we know God has a lot He wants us to do. Our focus here as Hope Hill Church is to be more about being outside of these walls than to be just sitting here for an hour or two once a week. And so, you know, we do things like this weekly. Literally weekly. We are out finding ways to bless the community. Typically, every month, we find a way for all of us to get on board with some project and come together to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to live love in our community. That's what Christ did. Christ left heaven, the Bible tells us, and came down to live a life of love with us and demonstrate an example for us to follow. And so over the first couple weeks, as we start a church, we're diving into this book of 1 John. Why 1 John? Well, 1 John is one of the most intimate books of the Bible. It's written by a very close, loved one of Jesus, somebody who spent 3 years of his life side by side with Jesus. If you've ever looked at one of the famous paintings of like the Lord's Supper, the guy who wrote this is the guy who was like right next to Jesus. This was like one of Jesus's inner three, if you will. One of his, you know, if he had a cell phone back then, he'd be on speed dial probably 1, 2, or 3, you know. John was really close with Jesus, was in love with Jesus, and Jesus likewise was in love with John. John is one of the few, if possibly the only disciple who wasn't killed for his faith in Jesus. All the other disciples were murdered, were tortured, because they would not deny Christ. John ended up being thrown into exile on an island all by himself, and he wrote the book of Revelations. The very last book of the Bible is written by the same guy. Not a very loving book. This one is more loving than that one. So we're going to dive in and pull out principles each week over the next, we'll probably be in the book of John. It's only 5 chapters. We'll probably be in this book another 4 weeks or so, just depending on how long I talk each week, okay? So 1 John chapter 2 is where we're at today. So far, just to kind of catch you up with what we've covered so far, the very beginning of John, this book of John, 1 John, it's confusing. So one of you wrote me this week and said, I read what you told us to read and it's completely different. Come to find out, they were in the Gospel of John, which is earlier in the New Testament, 21 chapters. This is one of the letters of John, and we don't have a lot of time to... There's 4 books in the Bible that have John's name as a title. The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So if you want to do some readings during the week, you can read it wherever you want, but if you want to follow with where we're going, 1st John is the right place. If you go to our website, there's questions on there each week to dig in a little deeper, stuff we don't have time to talk about this morning, and we update those usually by Monday, so you can spend some personal Bible study time week to week learning a little bit more. 1 John chapter 2 kicks off kind of with with John really nailing down the concept of love. He starts out chapter 1 by saying, okay, first of all, I want to tell you that God has always been. He's been from the very beginning of time, God was. In chapter 4 of this book, we see that John says God is love. And so from the very beginning, the foundation upon which everything God made was love. And every act that God is behind is an act of love. Sometimes that seems confusing. I'm sure many of you have had children who have taken them in to get shots. Your child does not believe that that's out of love, does he or she? But the truth is, because of your love for them, you'll put them through a little bit of suffering to keep them from experiencing more suffering later. And the truth is that God allows his children to suffer at times to become the people he's created us to be. And so we don't have a lot of time to talk about suffering today, but I do want to get into our topic, which is we're really going to key on the word forgiveness today. Forgiveness. Real quick, just let's pray together and ask God to speak to us. God, I pray that as we look into these words, as we flip the pages of the words that have been preserved over thousands of years for us to read today, that they would bring life to us, that they would set us on a path of becoming the people you've created us to be. God, I pray that for each of us in this room, if there are areas where we are in darkness, because we have hatred or unforgiveness in our hearts, that you would show us that in a loving way today, but also help us, God, to be able to come to a place of knowing how to take a step forward to giving that to you and letting you bring healing to that part of our life and helping us receive and be able to give forgiveness. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me read you our passage and then we'll break it down. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message that you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. All right, so we're going to break this down a little bit more together. Because John has written a lot, what's really amazing about the Bible is that it's not just one person who wrote it. We're going to flip through a lot of passages of Scripture today, going back to some of the Old Testament Scriptures that were written thousands of years before John was even born. And yet the same things are proclaimed. What's amazing about the Holy Word of God is that it was written by over 40 different people, over a period of over 15,000 years, 1,500 years, and on four different continents. And yet, the same story is from the beginning to the end. The story that God is love, that God loves you, that God wants us to love this world so that all people can come to know him and know his love. That's it in a nutshell. And we want to be about being that life of love lived in our community. So let's break this down together. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 through 14. Let's start with verse 7. He starts out by saying, I'm not telling you a new commandment, but one you've heard from ages ago. The Jews followed Jesus. Oh, actually, they didn't know Jesus. They followed God. God said, I will be your God and you will be my people. And if you turn with me or just look on the screen real quick, Actually, for these ones, I recommend you try not to keep up. We're going to jump through a lot of verses real quick with this part. I'll tell you when you should turn. Leviticus 19:18 says this: "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Deuteronomy 6:5 says this: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Deuteronomy 6:5. What's really powerful about that Deuteronomy passage is verse 4 and 5 together. To those who have a Jewish background, you'll know that that's called the Shema. And it says this, and it's also echoed in Mark. Pull up the Mark passage while I talk. In the book of Mark, Jesus himself recalled those two teachings. And he said, "You have heard it said, love the Lord your God." One of the teachers actually came to him. He was wanting to test him. This teacher was a religious rabbi in the Jewish temple. And they had heard this guy, Jesus, was in town. And Jesus was all about living love, not just talking it. And many of these religious rabbis would cheat people out of their money. They were improperly, making people pay the wrong kind of offerings. And they were just all about looking right on the outside. And so they were trying to catch Jesus often and throw him off. And so one of the teachers came up to Jesus and said, one of the teachers of the law came to him and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." That was the old law, but he brings it a step further and says, this is the second: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So that's really the key of our focus for this month, that we are first of all to love God. Without a love for God and God's love in our life, we cannot do the second part, which is the commandment to love our neighbor as ourself. How many of you have ever found it hard to love a particular person in your life? Be honest. How many of you are sitting there? No, don't answer that. Don't answer that. Love is a hard thing sometimes, but the truth is love is not a feeling. Did you hear me? Love is a decision. Love is a choice. I've been married for 18 years, and there have been times when I have made Brandy not feel in love with me. But she has chosen to love me in spite of how much I can annoy her. God, in the same way, does not love us because of a warm, fuzzy feeling we give him. But I do believe there are times when he looks on his people and he does get a warm, fuzzy feeling. But God chooses to love us because he is love. And that's all he can do. He cannot disown himself. He is love and he loves all of us. But God is also just and he requires certain things from his people. My father, many times when I would get caught and need some loving discipline. Those words. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Yeah, right. Let's reverse it. My dad loved me, and that's why he disciplined me. At times it didn't feel very loving, but I knew it was because of his love for me that he brought me up the way he did. In the same way, God loves us, and God expects us to learn to love in that same way. A love that is unconditional, that is a decision that we make regardless of how we have been treated or made to feel. We are to not only love God, but we are to love our neighbor. A real quick version of a story. So these religious leaders of the law said, "So who then is our neighbor, Jesus, O wise one?" They did not like him. And Jesus told this story. He said, okay, so there was this guy, a Jewish guy walking down a road. He gets beaten up by these thieves and left to die on the side of the road. And two religious leaders pass by him, and they don't want to become unclean because they don't know how, if he's dying or dead, and they had certain laws, and they Oh, no. So they cross to the other side of the road and they don't go to help this guy. But the Samaritan, and the thing about Jews and Samaritans back then was Samaritans lived on the other side of the tracks. You know, Jews and Samaritans didn't associate. Samaritans were kind of like half-breeds. Jesus said, though, that this one that you are racist against, look what he does. And this Samaritan comes in and he picks up this Jewish person who's been beaten, and he puts him on his donkey. He takes him into town. He pays for him to be taken care of. His medical needs to be met. And he even tells the innkeeper, if he has to stay longer, put it on my tab. I'll take care of things. He, Jesus said, was loving his neighbor. Even though this neighbor was an enemy, even though this neighbor lived on the other side of the tracks, Jesus said, we are to go and live and love likewise. And so, who are the neighbors around you that you love? Maybe it's easier to answer, who are the neighbors that you really wish would move? Those are the neighbors that God is calling us to love. And it can be hard, but we as Hope Hill Church want to be about not just saying it, we want to be about doing it. And sometimes it's hard to do it. Sometimes we have to push each other. We have to sharpen each other. Ironing, sharpening iron. And that's what we want to be about. So if you're here to stay on course with us, get ready to be challenged. Get ready to dive in and have people push you and stretch you. That's what God wants us to be a part of, is life that challenges each other. So this is not a new commandment. This is an old commandment. You've heard it from the beginning. Love God, love others. Verse 8. 1 John, back in chapter 2, verse 8. Yet I am writing you a new commandment. Its truth is seen in him and now in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. What's new about it is that now, since Jesus has come and lived for 33 years and died, the Bible tells us that as he died, he prepared his followers. He said, you know, I'm going to leave you one day. But when I leave you, you need to remember these very important commandments. Turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of John, John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we're going to see Jesus preparing those closest to him, his close friends and disciples. As he's getting ready to leave, he says, I give you a new command. But the truth is, it's really just the same old command, but he makes it real for him. John 13, 33. Can someone get me a small cup of water? I need to just start remembering to bring one up. Thank you. Sorry. Okay. John 13, 33. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Flip the page with me. Well, maybe your print is so small, it's on the same page. The book of John chapter 15, verse 12 through 17. Jesus has just spent the first part of 15 telling them that I'm going to help you do everything I'm telling you to do. Don't worry, you won't be alone. If you jump, though, to the verse we're going to look at now, 12 through 17, you'll see how it's supposed to be manifested in our life. He says this, my command again is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. Are you getting the point? God is love. God needs us to start loving each other. Write down in your notes one way that you're going to ask God to show you, how am I going to love my neighbor this week? How am I going to love my coworker? How am I going to love my wife? How am I going to love my children? How are we going to make this real? It's senseless and useless if we just listen to it and do nothing with it. Let's go a bit deeper. He said, this is also a new commandment because it is in him, but it's also in you. Turn with me to Matthew. Go backwards a little bit further. Matthew is the very first gospel in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. This is, if you get to know Brandy, you'll come to learn that this is her favorite verse. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, her favorite passage of verses. Here we go. It says this, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." We are created to be that light. Jesus himself, if you read through the book of John, he says, I am the light of the world. But then what's interesting is that he then says, now you are to be the light of the world. In the Old Testament, there was very specific principles for the way that the Jews were to light lamps in their temple. They were to go out and to pick olives, virgin olives, and squeeze oil from only this kind of olive. There were all kinds of cultures and ways that people were getting oil, but Jesus was very specific. I want you to use olive oil. Actually, it was God. Jesus wasn't yet on the earth, but God was telling the Israelites, go and get the oil from crushed olives. In the New Testament, we see that as Jesus, the night before he died and was arrested and died, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed. He knew that he was about to be crucified on a cross. He knew he was about to be arrested. He knew he was about to be tortured and literally crushed to the point that he would bleed. And he said, Father, if this possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours. And Jesus allowed himself to go through that death for you and for me. His blood was shed, and that is the blood that is to give us the fuel to light our lives. A lot of us look for light in a lot of different places. And just like the Israelites were told, only go to crushed virgin olives for your oil. Jesus, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Gethsemane means place of the crushed olive. And as the Israelites were told thousands of years ago as a symbol of the love of the oil that would be shed in the blood of Christ to give you and I the fuel we need to light our world today. Where are you seeking goodness? Where are you seeking kindness? Where are you seeking the fuel so that you have the ability to live a life of love? Is it through good karma? Is it through horoscope readings? If it's anywhere else but through Jesus, you're going to fail. Jesus is the only true light, the only true love that will give us what we need to live this life of love in our world around us. Let's go ahead and continue. The next thing we see in verse 9, 1 John chapter 9, he goes on and says this. He's just told them how important it is for them to realize that they are also the light, that the light is shining, and they're to love. But he very quickly says, but if you've got this going on, you're not going to be able to love. Look what he says. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. If you're sitting in this room today and you have some issue of unforgiveness, if there is some issue of hatred that you have towards somebody, even if it's from years gone by and you've kind of let it just kind of fade into the past, my question to you today is, would you allow God to help you to find forgiveness and healing there? If you have hate towards your brother, you cannot know the true love of Christ. If you have hate toward your brother, you cannot live in the light as God has intended. You will live in darkness. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Most of my adult years, I've been a youth pastor. So that's meant I've had the privilege to work with teenagers. And I've had many teenagers come to me at times and say, you know what, this God stuff is just so hard. You know, I don't hear God. I don't see God. It's hard to believe in something I don't see every day. And my question many times is, how much time are you spending with God? And to be honest, a lot of them would often say, you know, when I come to church and listen to you, I hear about God. And maybe every once in a while, you know, I'll go to a camp or a retreat. But the truth is that God has called us to abide in Him, to dwell in Him on a regular, everyday basis. And if we think that we can somehow just be religious and therefore we'll be transformed into loving people, that's what happened to the Pharisees. They thought they could just follow certain systems and laws and do this act on this day and give this amount at this time, that somehow they would be made into the people God wanted them to be. But Jesus said, you look all good on the outside, but inside you're dead. Jesus wants us to devote ourselves to letting Him come into every area of our life, every minute of every day. And there may be some of us that have bits of hatred at times or unforgiveness. And my question to you this morning is, are you struggling with some area of unforgiveness? And if you really want to come and experience love the way God intended, you'll allow Him to help you to find forgiveness. What we just heard about, being the light, letting our light shine before men. What we just heard about Jesus saying to His disciples, love one another. That's how the world will come to know that you love me and you know me. If we want to do those things, but yet we walk with hatred and unforgiveness, we can't do those things. We have to get this right before we can be walking in the light as God intended. Jesus summed it up in a couple of these verses. If you flip over to verse 4 real quick of this same chapter, verse 4, 1 John 4:20 says this. 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. Anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He also gave us this command, whoever loves God must love his brother. Turn with me real quick to two other passages. Luke chapter 6, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke is right before that Gospel of John. Luke chapter 6, Jesus put it very clearly. This is Jesus was standing on a hillside. And delivered this message to many people standing around. And in the center of these words, this is known as the Beatitudes. Some of you have read them before. Matthew, Mark, Luke. I'm still finding it. Here we go. Luke chapter 6, 27. Just Jesus talking to those in the crowd listening to Him. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. This is kind of new and different. I mean, we've been told to love our brother all day, but now Jesus is taking a step further. Really? Love our enemies? Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those who from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Again, even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because He is the kind. He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you'll not be judged. Do not condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. These are hard words. I mean, we don't have time to break this down and to say, you know, really? If someone takes my coat, here's my shoes too. Really? How do we make these things real in our life? Well, that's the truth, is that you and I together, as we pursue God and we say, God, help us know how we make this real in our life. The Holy Spirit will come. If you open yourselves up, the Holy Spirit will come and lead you and help you to walk one step at a time. And through each different event, each different circumstance, He'll show you how to live love. I want to close by giving you a little bit from Brandy. My wife has her license in counseling. And so many times I'll come to her and ask her for some advice and insight. You know, you might be sitting there today and you might be saying, you know what, I do have some issues of unforgiveness. I want to give you four things real quick, or reasons why you should be willing or consider allowing God to help you let go of that unforgiveness. Number one, unforgiveness and hatred turns into bitterness. Bitterness becomes anger turned inward to yourself. Bitterness eventually turns to depression. If you've got some area of unforgiveness that you've been dealing with, you probably will see how much pain. When you just look at yourself, you can see how often when you think about those things, it just brings pain and depression. Give it to God. Let Him begin to free you. Number two, we should consider forgiving because God forgave us. Colossians 3:13 tells us, forgive one another just as the Lord forgave you. Jesus was on the cross. The people who just drove spikes through His hands and His feet were standing there. They had just ripped His beard out of His face and shoved a crown of thorns on His head. They were mocking Him while He's hanging on that cross. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them. And Jesus says to us, forgive as I have forgiven you. We should forgive because God forgave us. Number three, let go and let God. Let God be your champion. God loves each one of His dear children, and God will take vengeance on whom He needs to take vengeance on. Jesus says, do not seek revenge, but vengeance is mine. In Matthew 18, He says, woe to those who hurt the little ones. It's better for a millstone to be tied around their neck and them to be dropped to the depths of the ocean than for them to have to deal with my wrath. God will take care of those who have hurt us. Come to a place and release your anger, your hatred, and your forgiveness to God, and let God heal you. The fourth thing is taking that step and making it real. Pray that the Holy Spirit would allow His peace to fill you and to cover you and to bring healing to areas of unforgiveness. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that You would help us to see that in order to truly love, we have to be willing to forgive. In order to truly love, we have to be willing to accept Your forgiveness. God, we can't give what we don't have. And as human beings, we are imperfect and flawed, and we need Your perfect love in our lives. So God, I pray that if there's somebody here this morning who has not surrendered their life to You, that they would do it today. They would say, okay, God, I give in. I open up my life for your love to be poured into me. Help me to find forgiveness. Help me to find peace. Help me to have what I need to be able to live this life of love in the world that you've placed me in. So God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us as individuals. You know each and every detail that each and every person in this room has walked through in their life. You know the areas where they've been hurt, and you want to love them through it. You know the areas where they've hurt others, and you're here to forgive them. God, I pray that you would help each of us, even myself included, to see right now through these next moments areas where I need to surrender more to you and to let your forgiveness come in and to fill me so that I no longer have hatred or anger towards people in my life, but that I instead, God, let your love fill me and lead me and direct me. Over the next few moments as we close, just letting God fill this place, the band will play. My hope is that you will allow God's voice to speak to your heart. If you know you're far from Him, consider stepping into His arms today. If you know you have an area of forgiveness and you need help, give it to Him today. And we're here to help. If you want to come to me, I'll be standing right up here and you can come up and say, Pastor John, I want you to pray for me. I've got an area of unforgiveness I haven't been able to deal with in years. And I'm not saying I'm going to be able to do some magic, you know, formula up here and it's all going to be taken care of, but I promise to come alongside you and to pray with you and to help you seek what needs to be sought after for you to deal with healing and true forgiveness.